Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A couple weeks ago, I'm hanging out at my house in Manhattan Beach, California, and a colleague, Liz, is over, and she's hanging out. She's in town. She goes, "Oh, I got to go. Dennis Dodd's in town." I go, "Dennis Dodd? Where?" She goes, "Oh, he's down near the Manhattan Beach Pier having a drink." And I was crestfallen because all I want to do is hang out with Dennis Dodd. I don't think I've had a beer with Dennis Dodd at any point in my life. And now he's on the show. Dennis, next time, dude, you let me know. Beers are on me. I'm buying your family. Well, I can't buy your kids' beers. But I'll buy you guys a little food or something just so I can hang out with you.
Yeah, Liz pinged me, and I see she's 0.8 miles away at your house. And I went, "I have no idea you were that close. We were at Bruco."
So, what's creepy is that Liz had you on some sort of some GPS. She saw you were in town on Twitter or something. I don't know. And she's like, "Let's see where he is." I'm like, "What do you mean, let's see where he is?" She's like, "Oh, he's at Bruco." She had your phone number down somehow, buddy.
She's a great person, great field producer, and I love her. I'm glad she was there.
She is phenomenal. All right, so it's a pretty divided America. It's a pretty divided country. It's a pretty divided Supreme Court. Doesn't feel like folks can agree on much, but apparently the Supreme Court can agree on a fairly narrow case involving the NCAA, but there were certainly some not very narrow words, especially from Justice Kavanaugh, that we talked about this week. Dennis, what is the proper takeaway? How significant is the Supreme Court's ruling that there are some benefits that student-athletes should be allowed to have in the case that they ruled on this week?
Well, you're right. It was sort of a narrow case that was brought before them. But given the decision, 9-0, and given Kavanaugh's dicta, which is his ruling and then opinion, I think this set the table for the end of amateurism as we know it. I mean, he basically wagged his finger in front of the NCAA and said, you know, anything you bring before us like this in the future is going to be, subject to this ruling today. So don't get in trouble with antitrust again, because we will not rule in your favor. And it was, in my opinion, the biggest legal setback they've ever had in their history. The only bigger one would be the 84 Board of Regents case, when that deregulated college football television. And that's basically why we're here today, all that money in the pot. So it was significant. I think it made the NCAA basically a fly on the wall for college athletics in the future. They're going to do enforcement, eligibility, and throw a heck of a party every March. And that's about all they're going to do.
Dennis, what do you have any sense of what the NCAA was expecting, what their optimism level was before they just got absolutely chastised by the highest court in the land?
Well, this has been their strategy for, I don't know, ever. Get sued, fight, 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 spend the membership money, and let the chips fall where they may, because, powerful people like to stay in power. I think they knew that this day was coming. They were going to get an unfavorable ruling someday that was going to kick the pegs out from underneath them. I don't think when they saw the Supreme Court take this case in December, I think they were absolutely giddy with, look, I'm just looking at it as an impartial observer. A conservative court with three conservative judges appointed by the last conservative administration, and conservative by its nature means anti-labor, and then to go 9-0 I think, was a shock. I thought they had a heck of a chance to prevail, which would have at least provided the momentum in this case to preserve some form of NCAA amateurism. Now NIL's all over the map. It's going to be whatever you can get starting July 1st.
CBS's Dennis Dodd here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the context of this that's also interesting is that the NIL legislation, name, image, and likeness, that has not been passed federally. There's no federal law that's been passed in D.C. There's been no guidance from the NCAA as it relates to this, but there are states, a handful of states, that have passed these NIL laws that will allow student-athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness. I guess right around the corner. I can't believe we're almost to July 1st. What is going to happen between now and July 1st, if anything, do you think, Dennis, as it relates to the folks in Indianapolis giving some sort of indication of how the rest of the country who don't have these laws in place at a local level should respond?
Yeah, something has to happen, and that's one of the biggest conundrums in college athletic history right now, sitting here on January 23rd. How do you put something NIL in place without it immediately being exposed to an antitrust lawsuit based on what happened Monday? And that's what the NCAA Council is doing right now. They are the body that typically forwards legislation to the Board of Governors to rubber stamp. The problem is what I just mentioned. It's a conundrum. They're not going to do anything this week. I'm told Monday they're going to have something, what is that, 3 or 4 days before July 1st, to cover the athletes in the 44 other states. What that looks like, I don't know. There's an alternative proposal out there from some conferences, that like kind of a workaround legally, where the athletes would be able to make their own deals with the state, with the school, excuse me. And so that removes the NCAA legal liability and puts it on the schools, but then that's removed because the school can say, here are our parameters for NIL. If you don't like it, you can't sue us because there's 300 other schools you can choose. You know, we're not suppressing it. These are just our rules. So that's on the table. I don't know how far it's going to go, but it's a mess.
All right. So Dennis, let's look into the future of the crystal ball and just presume there is some sort of universal or 50 states that allow NIL legislation to pass in which players can be compensated for these things. And let's just take, I know he's in the NFL now, but let's just take Trevor Lawrence as an example. In that world, what does Trevor Lawrence get to do when he's at Clemson? Like, how does he make money? What does it look like? How does it play itself out from the vantage point of the casual fan?
That's a good example. And I did that story last year, and I'll just give you the social media impact. Social media alone, going into last season, he would have been number two on that list next to Spencer Rattler, who, by the way, had thrown 7 career passes for Oklahoma at that point, but was very active on social, very self-aware of his ability on social, and he was worth $736,000, or would have been, in 2020. In social alone, forget endorsements, autographs, commercials. And Trevor Lawrence was slightly below that. So that gives you an idea of what players at the top end of the scale, not all of them are going to get it. In fact, a very small percentage are. But you're going to see players hit the button, athletes hit the button on July 1st at midnight that are going to have $500,000 deals in place. I guarantee it, because a lot of them already do, and I know who they are. So that's what's going to happen. How college athletics react, I don't know, but that's the new reality.
Talking to Dennis Dodd here on the show. And in terms of how or if, because social media, obviously, we've learned this, right? In the NBA, there used to be this perspective you had to be in L.A. or New York to make money. That is not true, right? You can be in Cleveland. You could have been in Oklahoma City when you were Kevin Durant. It didn't matter. To what degree do you think being at Clemson or Alabama or Ohio State or USC is going to give you a financial advantage of these new rules and therefore give those programs even more of a recruiting advantage or not in this new world?
No, that's a good question, because for all those who think this is going to create a competitive imbalance, what are we living with right now when only 3 schools can win a national championship, Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama? And if you believe that, then if that were true in the NIL era, or forget NIL, right now, if those schools had an advantage, Miami and USC would be winning all the national championships. And they're not, because they're not as good at football. They have Fortune 500. They have weather. They have every advantage you can have. But the people in Tuscaloosa and Clemson, South Carolina are better. So I just think, basically, things stay the same. There will be exceptions. You know, Vanderbilt may get a guy or girl who wants to study music in Nashville and doesn't go to Alabama or someplace. I think it'll be a tremendous boon to female athletes. It's been written about a little bit, but I think if you're a female athlete at any level right now, your life is about to change, because this opens up a huge amount of doors that frankly, some male athletes can't take advantage of. I think it's great.
Dennis Dodd on the program, Dennis Dodd, CBS on Twitter. Dennis, shifting gears a little bit, is it a done deal, the college football playoff expanding to 12 teams? Does that feel like that that's a sure thing to you?
After yesterday, I think it's less of a sure thing, where we all thought that the presidents were going to rubber stamp it. I still think it's going to happen, but the Mississippi State president's kind of spokesman for the board of managers said, well, we'll give you a feasibility study and come back in September. I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. There are so many things to unwind here with the bowls and the TV contract, and no one is talking about the health and welfare aspect of playing 17 games by two teams. That's an NFL schedule. Actually, it's an NFL schedule for six teams. Four teams would play 16 in the semis, and two would play play 17. Actually, four, not six. But, you know, that hasn't been solved, whatever that looks like. So there's a lot here. Does the CFP want to wait till the contract expires in 5 years and go to market, or does ESPN want to pay up now and get cost certainty? I mean, there may be people at the CFP say, well, wait a minute now. We don't know if Apple's going to be a player, or CBS or Fox. Let's see what this thing is worth, because I think we're all conditioned. Hey, this is right around the corner in 2 years. I don't think so.
Dennis Dodd here on the program. Hey, Dennis, it's a little off the beaten path, but I want to ask you about Greg Gard, the Wisconsin men's basketball coach, just in this context. To what degree do you – so he's a public figure. He is probably – I don't know the answer, but I would guess the second or third highest public employee in the state of Wisconsin. And he's been pretty well humiliated by a private conversation, an emotional conversation that was recorded without his knowledge being leaked to the press. And I was thinking about this. If I were a reporter still, right, if I was still covering that sport, I would have done everything in my power to have gotten, if I knew about that meeting, to get sources in the meeting to tell me what it was like. So to get a tape recording is certainly something I would want to use. To what degree do you think it's fair or not fair that we know about that conversation between him and his players?
I have to be honest, I haven't heard it myself. I know the story, but I've always come down on the side of you know, sunshine cleans all, that the public know more about public figures who are taking the public's money as their salary rather than less. And this has happened before. Bo Pelini, I recall at Nebraska, somebody brought a tape recorder into one of his meetings, and it was about as damning. And he was fired shortly thereafter, but he was fired because they were going 9-4 every year. I think Nebraska would kill for that right now. And he was profane. Those are the two things he was not good at, but that's a different situation. But are players going now to be, you know, recording these situations? You know, ethically, I would have no problem reporting this story and releasing this tape, because public figures who take public money are held to a higher standard of accountability than other people, and especially when they're coaches.
I could not agree more. And I have not thought of Bo Pelini in a very long time, Dennis. And I was still writing about college sports back in his tenure. And I think I can say with great confidence, at least at his work, he was a very, very angry man. He was not a happy person.
Yeah. He was what they call a red ass.
Yeah, he was.
But look, you know who else is? There's a bunch of, I don't know, a large percentage of coaches are. That's okay.
But they've got charm they can turn on, right? Like, maybe Pelini had it. Yeah. I never saw it.
No, he was living on the edge. But again, Nebraska would kill to be 9-4 right now.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you talk about a program, and I should take pleasure in that because I'm from Iowa and I went to Mizzou, right? So, like, there's a lot of torture. I feel so off. I have family from there, too. You talk about a program that has aspirations historically of absolute greatness that has just fallen off a cliff. I know we got to go, but are they going to be able to turn that thing around, or has the world just shifted so much that once you let go of that rope, you're not picking it back up?
I'm glad you mentioned that because I've been wanting to do that story, and you know, you and I know about it, but I don't know if the person on the street cares. That's what it's come to for Nebraska. Yeah. That I knew Tom Osborne. I saw that in all its greatness. I wasn't at the game of the century, but I was there watching it and knew the gravity of it. We're about to have the 50th anniversary of it, and now they just don't matter. What do they say? The worst thing is people, not that they hate you, is that they don't care. And that's what happened in recruiting and everything. I'm really shocked that Scott Frost hasn't done more.
Me too.
And I don't know why he hasn't.
I thought it was a slant. I mean, look, the answer might be Scott Frost, and the scarier answer for Nebraska fans might be it's Nebraska, and it just doesn't matter anymore, and it never will.
Yeah, and if not Scott Frost, who do you get?
I don't think anybody. Nick Saban wants to go to Nebraska, right? I haven't checked. Nope. I haven't asked him. No? Nope. Okay. Sorry, Nebraska fans. Sorry. Dennis Dodd, good to talk to you, buddy. It's a big week, and I appreciate you making time to give us some clarity on that Supreme Court decision.
All right, next time fish tacos at Bruco.
On me, buddy. Let me know.
All right.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.